On behalf of Pastor Joe and all of us here at Portland Mount Hope Church, our hope is that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk with Jesus in confidence and in boldness. Check out more of the messages and events happening here at Portland Mount Hope by going to our website at portlandmounthope.org and come join us Sundays at 10 a.m. And now, here is Pastor Joe.
There's a Right to Life March that we hosted Friday afternoon as well. And we asked for desserts and things for that. And you guys are just amazing. We ask and you respond wonderfully. And I just want to say thank you. You know, when the church does something in the community, people stand up and take notice. You know, if we do it well, if we don't, whatever. And each one of you really make this church look good. So thank you for that. Thank you so much for that. Let's pray as we get into the Word. Father, we bless you. We just thank you for our time together this morning. And as we go to your Word, we ask that you would open our eyes. Father, speak to our hearts. And let us leave this place better than when we came in. We ask it in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. This month we're doing words of the Father, things that I feel that God has put on my heart, the heart of this leadership team for this church. A couple weeks ago I shared words for 2018, and the three words are revive, details, and challenge. And I was sharing at the huddle. We have a early morning prayer meeting with everybody in ministry. We call it the huddle. About the word revive, and I challenged us a while ago to pray and ask God to revive us. Now, this is how I want you to see it. Don't expect to pray, oh God, revive me, and all of a sudden get struck with a lightning bolt and say, wow, I'm really revived and ready to go. Liken it more to like being on a diet to lose weight. You know, you make the eating habits, the change in the eating habits, you begin to exercise more, and initially you don't see or feel much different. But over a short period of time, as you're faithful to these things, all of a sudden the pants fit a little better. You have a little bit more energy, and the scales are more favorable. And that encourages you to keep going on and on and on. Well, praying for God to revive you is much the same way. You just be faithful in it. God, revive me and live the life of someone in revival, one that walks near to God and prays and studies his word. And when you're going to wake up one day just feeling this kind of fire in your belly that maybe wasn't there before, and it's going to grow and it's going to be more and more consuming and it will get more and more exciting. So I want to challenge you in praying for God to revive you in 2018. Be faithful and be consistent with it. And over a period of time, you will begin to notice the differences, and it will be powerful differences. So I want to speak to you this morning about the values of Mount Hope Church. I shared these a few years ago. And I want to tell you why values are important. In other words, if we don't think they're important, then we're not going to embrace them very much. So let me give you my definition of values, okay, so that we're all on the same page. I define values as they are non-negotiable foundational biblical truths that guide and protect our lives, all right? Those are our values, foundational biblical truths. And values are like bumpers in bumper bowling. How many have been bowling, bumper bowling? I took my grandkids the other day, or a few weeks ago, bumper bowling without the bumpers. Been better to have bumpers. You see the bumpers there on the side? See, life will take us all over the lane, but the values, we bump up against our values, and they prevent us from going in the gutter. Does that make sense? Okay, so I want you to think of values that way, because life just kind of takes us all over the lane, but our values will help us to stay out of the gutter. Let me give you an example. Integrity. Integrity is a good and it's a biblical value. And if we maintain integrity as a strong personal value, then people with integrity, they cannot be bought, they cannot be persuaded to do the wrong things. This is what Proverbs has to say about integrity in Proverbs 11:3. It says, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them." And understand that doing the wrong things biblically is what lands us in the gutters of life. And oftentimes, you know, we're kind of minding our own business, going down the lane, and then a temptation comes our way. And unknowingly, it's just sort of starting to lead us toward the gutter. And at some point in time, we have to decide whether we give in to that temptation or we don't. The temptation will slam us against the gutter, but integrity will put us back on the lane and prevent us from going into the gutter and paying the price of giving in to that temptation. How many in here are perfect? Okay, Scott. Anybody other than Scott? All right. Yep. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. And immediately following service, there'll be a prayer meeting for Scott. All right. Because no one is perfect, there may be times that we give in to temptation, we fall into the gutter, and to be honest, that will probably happen to all of us at some point in time to some degree on occasions. So what do we do? How do we get back on our feet again? And one of my favorite psalms really demonstrates this. So we're going to look at Psalm 40, beginning of verse 1. David, King David, who was a godly man, did some gutter time. All right, and it's not a fun place to be. And this is one of his psalms about how God brought him out of the gutter. He says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm." It's pretty clear, isn't it? He took me out of the ditch or the gutter and put me on some solid footing. And then as a result of that, verse 3 says, "And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. And many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count." I love this verse because here you got someone who gave in to temptation in some way. They ended up in the gutter or the ditch. There's anybody ever try to walk through mud? I remember on the farm going out in the barnyard after rain or something, it'd be so muddy. And I would take a step and sometimes step right out of my boot because the mud would just hold it right in. That can happen to us in life. And David gives us some clear steps of what to do if we find ourselves in the gutter, all right? And I want to share with you three things that we can do to kind of get out of the gutter. Number one is own it. Own it. God, I screwed up. You know, sometimes when we find ourselves in the gutter, we look for someone else to blame. Or we're too proud to admit, I screwed up. I made a mistake. You know, if it wasn't for Nancy Ann, oh, there she is. If it wasn't for Steve, I wouldn't be in this mess. It's Steve's fault. How often do we try to blame others for our messes? So the first thing we have to do, if we want to get out of our feet or on our feet again and on solid footing, we have to own it, take responsibility. Second thing is we need to speak up. David said in verse 1, he says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and he heard my cry." We got to cry out and say, "God, I screwed up. I am so sorry." It's called repentance, all right? And when we speak up and ask God to forgive us, how many of you know that he will? And ask him, say, "God, help me to get back to where you want me to be." And the third step, first is own it, second is speak up, and third is step up. You know, if you're unemployed and you're looking for a job, you can ask God to open the doors for a job, but how many of you know he's not going to come down and fill out the resumes for you? You know, he's not going to go to the places to, you know, and talk to the people on your behalf. We have to take action. So when we find ourselves in the gutter and we're stuck in the mud, we have to admit, okay, me bad, I screwed up. We take responsibility for it. We ask God to forgive us and then to direct our steps. And then we need to take some initiative to climb out of that place of disobedience to a place of obedience. But values will help us from even going into the ditch. Churches, like people, need values to stay the course and out of the gutters. You know, and we live in a culture where it just seems like the Word of God is becoming less and less honored and valued and seen for what it is, and that is the truth by which we are to live our lives. And some churches are compromising Scripture, and we compromise Scripture, we compromise values, and we'll spend a lot more time in the gutter. I want to share with you five core values of Mount Hope Church this morning. And as a leadership team, we got together and we prayed, and with the help of Converge Coaching, we just sought God, and we took all these values that we identified were important for us as a church. We put them in this pot, we turned it on high, and it all boiled down to five core values. And those are what I want to share with you this morning. So when people think of Mount Hope Church, I hope these are five things that really are evident and really jump out. The first one, first value, is that of love, all right? Now, I'm not talking about, Jesus said the sinners love those who love them. I'm talking about a love that can only come from the throne of God that is unique. It is a biblical love that flows from the heart of God to the heart of the believer, and that happens through the Holy Spirit, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 says this: the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us. And because of that, Christians, you and I, we have an ability to love in a way the world cannot. In a way the world cannot. It is an unconditional love. That's what really helps to separate the Christian from the unbeliever, is that it's easy to love those who love you back. But what about those who despise you and mock you and speak against you and criticize you? We are called to love them as well, because Christ loves them. But let me tell you what this kind of love does. This Bible calls it agape love. It's an unconditional biblical love. This is, and we all have it. We all have that seed because the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our life, the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart through the Holy Spirit. So it's there. It's just the more we grow in our faith, the more that love is going to grow, and the more that we're going to be able to touch other people's lives, because as we mature, that love will mature as well. But it's this kind of love that protects our heart from anger and hurt and bitterness and unforgiveness. It influences our thoughts. We recognize that it's not loving to think ill toward other people. How many of you know that you can smile on the outside, but you can be waging a huge battle in your mind with somebody, right? You know, let's say you're getting ready to go to work in the morning, and a bit of cross exchange, you know, kind of a with your spouse, and just a little exchange of words, you know, and it's just enough to put you on this little bit of a negative track in your mind. So you go off to work and you think about what your spouse said or did or didn't do, and And the more you think about it, the more ticked off you get. You know, and they may not even be aware of it, or if they are aware of it, you know, they, okay, you know, but they moved on, but not you. You think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, and it grows, and it grows, and it grows. Instead of bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, Father, I forgive my spouse. Pray you bless them in Jesus' name. Thank you for them. I love them. And taking your mind down that track, no, you go down this track that, boy, they shouldn't have said that. And you, by the time you get home, you're like this 2 liter of pop all shook up. And you get home, and the spouse says, "Hi, honey." And you leak all over them. Love will protect us from doing that. Protects our heart, influences our thoughts, it shapes our attitudes, and it defines our actions. According to 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, as we know it, it is a love that never fails. How many of you would really like to buy into something that never fails? Never fails. Scripture says that God's love that he's put in our heart will never fail. What may fail is our choice to walk in that love. All right? But as a church, as we walk in this kind of love, it's going to get the attention of those around us. I believe that as a church, we'll flourish if we can truly love God and love people. It will keep us out of the gutters. And I promise you, when love becomes our identity, a lost world stands up and takes notice. This is what Jesus said in John 13:35. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples. What? What's the next word? If you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. The more we grow in our faith, the more our love will grow. You know, when you see churches or Christians at war with one another, there's no love in that. You know, the world stands back and says, they can't even get along with each other. Why would I want to be a part of that? And none of us are perfect. We will all make mistakes and do some gutter time. Not that we want to, but sometimes we just will. And we want to get back on our feet again, because the longer we stay in the gutter, the more it's going to affect our ability to love those around us. But our first value that we hold dear at Mount Hope Church is love, that we walk in God's love. Love is forgiving, it is caring, it is compassionate, it is generous, and it is so many things. The second value of Mount Hope Church, the second word of the Father to us, is that we are to be people of purity. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. I have to confess something. As we were, as a leadership team sitting around the table, I didn't want to necessarily use this word. I wanted to use the word holiness. Pretty much the same thing. But they convinced me, and I agree with them. Purity is a word. When you hear the word holiness, there can be a lot of negative connotations to it. But when you hear the word purity, it's a word that we kind of understand more in today's culture. Purity is about living a life that is holy and transparent before God. Romans 12:1 says that when we live a life of purity and holiness, it is an act of worship. If you love God, then you will live a life that is pure and pleasing to him. And understand that without purity, we can easily adopt the Adam and Eve complex. Because if we're not living a life of purity, we know that there's sin in our life, and you know, we're hanging out in the ditches, and all of a sudden God's presence shows up, or it's like we run and hide. Like Adam and Eve, hey, they were cool. They would hang out with God, and then after they sinned, they would hear God approach, and they would go hide themselves because they felt guilty because of their sin. Purity gives us, we don't have any reason to hide. Matter of fact, purity only welcomes the presence of God. It longs for it. Jesus said in Matthew 5:8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now let me say this right up front. Purity is not about living perfect, because that is unattainable. All right? None of us can live perfect. But what it is about, it's about choosing to live holy. It is a choice. We come up right against the bumper. All right? Are we going to give in to that temptation? Are we going to go spend some gutter time and pay the price of that? Or are we going to choose to live holy? We're going to deny ourselves, and as an act of worship, we're going to live holy and pure and pleasing before God. I want Mount Hope Church to be a place of purity that covets the presence of God. And let me tell you something. Life is best lived and enjoyed in His presence. Now, talking about the presence of God may seem like a weird concept for some of you, but I tell you what. There's no place like His presence where you can walk with this unshakable peace, this overwhelming joy, overflowing love toward people. And I think the greatest temptation for the church today is our second value, that of purity. You watch so many TV shows, now it is commonplace for them to show a bed scene. Right? Them not living together. It is so, has become so accepted in our culture that we don't even, it doesn't faze us anymore. The greatest temptation for the church today is to compromise purity and holiness. That's where we're going to go into the gutter, probably quicker than any place else. The third value is that of prayer. I appreciate what Jessica talked about in the book of Revelation during worship, but our prayer is like incense. It goes up to the nostrils of God, and it's pleasing to Him. The Bible tells us in Jude 20 that prayer is like spiritual weightlifting, that it gives muscle to our faith, and it strengthens us. The book of Jude, in chapter 1, verse 20, it says that we are to pray at all times. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." Building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, praying in the Holy Spirit, the way I see it, there's two ways we can do that. Number one is that we pray as the Holy Spirit prompts us. We can be driving down the road, God drops somebody on our heart, and we just feel a sense of urgency. I got to pray for them. We don't know what's going on in their life or whatever. And we're just obedient, and we pray. And the Holy Spirit leads us who to pray for and that type of a thing. And the scriptures are very clear that we're to be people of prayer. I wouldn't wait necessarily for the prompting of the Holy Spirit. You know, I think we need to live a life of prayer, and it has to be a discipline. Not wait, well, the Holy Spirit didn't tell me to pray, so therefore I didn't. There's many scriptures commands us to pray, and there's many things we can pray about. The second thing about prayer, the second way that we can pray in the according to the Spirit, is by praying in the Spirit, the prayer language that God has given us. I've been doing it for over 41 years, and it is some of the most powerful experiences I've ever had in the Lord. If you don't know what I'm talking about, see me afterwards. I'll talk to you more about it. But every time that we pray, it's like spiritual weightlifting. We become stronger and healthier as a result of it, and it impacts the world around us. We have to understand prayer accesses the power of God. Purity welcomes His presence, but prayer engages Him in conversation, and that conversation will lead to God pouring out His power, His provision, His Spirit in our lives. Jesus said, he makes a statement that I think is profound and almost beyond belief. Matthew 21:22, Jesus said, "All things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive." Now, I believe the context of this is that we ask in accordance with the will of God. As a loving parent, your three-year-old wants the car keys, you know, or a sharp steak knife to play with. Ain't going to happen, right? Why? Because it's not in their best interest. As a loving parent, we know and understand that. And there are times, I think, when we pray, we're asking God that for something that may not be to our best interest. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes he says no. But we have to believe that prayer accesses the throne room in the presence of God in a way that moves the hand of God. How many want to see God move in this church? In your life, in your marriage, your family? Start praying. Take your prayer life to a whole nother level and see what God will do. But I want prayer to be one of the core values of Mount Hope Church, and I believe it has been from day one. The very first meeting we ever had here, when we opened, we're in our 28th year, was a prayer meeting. And that will continue to be a priority at Mount Hope Church. The fourth value for Mount Hopers is that of excellence. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, he says, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That implies whatever we do in life, not just in ministry here at church, but whatever we do, do all to the glory of God. You know, God gave us his very best in Jesus Christ, right? Would you agree? He gave us his best, and I think that God deserves our very best. And let me give you a few practical ways here at Mount Hope Church that you and I can demonstrate excellence. All right? These can apply into the home and so on and so forth. But let me just give you some practical ways. Number one, when it comes to serving, and we have a very servant-hearted church, do it with a great attitude. Have you ever had a waiter or waitress wait on you because they have to? Doesn't that make a huge difference? Than someone, they wait on you because they want you, and they have a great attitude about it. Man, I'm just ready to bless them with a huge tip. And the other one, well, not so much. Serve with a great attitude. The second thing we can do is give appropriate time and attention to the details. If you're a teacher in children's ministry, don't put a lesson together the last minute. This is the next generation we're talking about. This is an investment into our future we're talking about. They deserve the very best that we can give them. Excellence will be faithful in the details, all right? That's so important. Another way we can demonstrate excellence here at Mount Hope Church, take ownership of the building. I had to laugh a few weeks ago. So often, you know, I'm one of the last ones out locking the door, and it looks like a hurricane has hit this place. Coffee cups everywhere. I even find sometimes some socks, some shoes. It's amazing some of the things you find. Find Bibles and phones and all sorts of stuff. But if we all took a couple of minutes, if you see something on the floor, well, cleaners miss that. If you see something on the floor, pick it up. Say, I don't want a visitor to come and think that this church is dirty. Maybe the person just ahead of you dropped it and didn't even know it. But let's pick up after ourselves. Let's all work together to make this building look clean and maintain it to the very best of its ability. And then finally, another practical way to demonstrate excellence is to be generous. Be generous with your time, with your treasure, and with your talents. By the way, all which came from the Lord. We want to glorify God. Let's there's some way that we can be generous, let's be generous. Excellence is an attitude that reflects in all that we do and who we do it for. You know, as a church, I want people to come in and just sense that, well, you could tell they put a lot of time into preparing for worship or for the message or for children's ministry or for anything else that we do. Because what that says, they think I'm worth it, that investment of time. They put all this in for me. I'm so grateful for that. Excellence is a powerful value. You apply it into the workplace, it will bring you promotion. It will bring you blessing. And I believe that every Christian should be the greatest employee in the building. Because as we apply our values, our biblical values, into what we do, like Daniel, it should bring promotion after promotion after promotion. Then the final value I want to talk about today, that I believe God has given us a word for, is that of community. That of community. This is something very strong on. In Acts chapter 2, we see a very good glimpse of a church walking in community. And I want to read these verses. Okay, Acts 2 is Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, and he just ascended to the Father, and they told the disciples to go and wait until they receive power from on high. And that was the day of Pentecost. And they're in the upper room. They pray and the Holy Spirit falls and they begin to speak in other tongues. And the fire of God falls on them. And all of a sudden, there's this transformation in these people's lives. And they, where do we go from here? Now that I'm a Christian, how do I live out my faith? What does this look like? Acts 2 shows a really clear picture of what they did after their salvation experience. Verse 41 says, "So then, those who had received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." Must have been a really good sermon. Verse 42, what did they do after they became Christians? They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer, some of the spiritual disciplines. 43, and everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, a sense of God's presence, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, the outpouring of God's power. Verse 44, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. For the early church, it wasn't just a Sunday morning church experience. It was a daily living out life together. Their kids played together. They were in each other's homes. They shared meals together. They did life together. And in a society that is growing more and more hostile toward Christianity and our faith and our beliefs, we need to be around people of like precious faith. Iron sharpens iron. People that we can live out our faith. We can encourage them. They can encourage us. Let's face it, walking out our faith is much easier when we do it together. Church is designed to be a faith community, all right? Because community life provides relational interaction necessary for healthy spiritual growth. If we walk together, if our lives interact with one another, I'm not saying let's set up a commune, you know, hippies tried to set up communes. That didn't work very well. But a church that has shared values, they can do life together. And it can be huge. communities where shared values can be lived out in affirming ways. Now, last year, a ministry was started. Brian and Sarah Boss began it. It's called Communitas. And what it is, it's a ministry that provides activities. You know, hey, we're going to go here and do this. We're going to go here and do that. And the purpose is trying to establish community within the church setting. All right, because you all come here from, many of you from different walks of life, and you don't maybe know a lot of the people in the church. The longer you're here, the more you're going to get to know people and so on and so forth. But these events that they do is for the purpose of getting to know one another and doing life together so that when you do an event, you're not going to be... It'll be a good and rich and powerful experience because you share the values. Have you ever gone someplace with somebody who didn't share your values and it just... You couldn't wait to get away from them, you know? And so anyway, be listening. There's some events on the calendar for Communitas, and it helps us to walk together, walk our faith out together. So the five values again. Number one is that of love. Number two is that we live a life that is of purity. One is holy and pleasing to the Lord. Three is prayer, brings the power of God into our walk. Four is that we are people of excellence. God gave his best, we need to give our best. And five is that we are people of community, that we understand the value of life outside of Sunday morning, and that we do our best to walk life out together. I shared, I think a few weeks ago, one of my daughters involved at a large church in Grand Rapids, and another couple that go to their church, they both have young children, and the first Friday night of every month, they watch my daughter's kids. The third Friday night of every month, they watch, my daughter watches their kids so that they can do date nights, and they work together. And that's a part of what community is, and doing life together. And I was so blessed when this church pulled together for Rick's funeral. You know, they asked us provide some desserts, and you guys did wonderfully. And it's just, there are times in life that we need people to help us, and that's part of what community is, you know. But community is a two-way street. All right, I've heard people say, well, gee, nobody reaches out to me, nobody. Well, who do you reach out to? Nobody. What do you do to invest in the life of someone else? Nothing. You know, it's like they go hide in a corner and expect everybody to come to them without them making no investment in other people. Community is a two-way street. We invest in each other. So those are the values. These are something I believe God put on our heart. And if we can walk out these values, we're going to stay right, I believe, in the center lane. We won't even get near the edges. And our church will be healthy, will continue to grow, and see God do some good things. So this is how I want to close the service. I'm going to ask that you would embrace these values. You say, well, Pastor Darrell, you've already talked about them. I embrace them. Well, let's recommit to them, maybe even to a new level. So let's stand to our feet, and I just want to close by praying that these values would be rich and they would be real in our lives. Father, as we gather here this morning, we thank you for your word, your biblical truths. And Father, I thank you for the values that you've given us as a church. And we know that there's so many more values which to live by, but Father, we believe that these five really, really represent so many more values as well. And Father, help us to be people who are in love first and foremost with you, and then with one another. Father, let that love flow through us to reach out to a world that is hurting and lost and dying. Father, let our love be so courageous that we're willing to step out of our comfort zone to invite someone to church, to share Christ with them. to give them our testimony of how Jesus changed our life. Oh, Father, we love you. Lord, I pray that as we walk out these values, Lord, that we would reap the fruit of it, both in our lives personally and corporately. And we ask it for your glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
God bless you. Have a great Sunday.